Introduction. I think that I would rather recollect a life misspent on fragile things than spent avoiding moral debt. The words turned up in a dream, and I wrote them down upon waking, uncertain what they meant or to whom they applied. My original plan for this book of tales and imaginings, some 8 years ago, was to create a short story collection that I would call These People Ought to Know Who We Are and Tell That We Were Here, after a word balloon and a panel from a Little Nemo Sunday page. You can now find a beautiful colour reproduction of the page in Art Spiegelman's book, In the Shadow of No Towers. And every story will be told by one of a variety of dodgy and unreliable narrators. It's each explained their life, told us who they were, and that they once, too, were here. A dozen people, a dozen stories. That was the idea, and then real life came along and spoiled it. As I began to write the short stories you'll find in here, and they took on the form they needed to be told in. And while some were told in the first person and were slices of lives, others simply weren't. One story refused to take shape until I gave it to the months of the year to tell, while another did small, efficient things with identity that meant it had to be told in the third person. Eventually, I began to gather together the material of this book, puzzling over what I should call it now that the previous title seemed no longer to apply. It was then that the One Ring Zero CD, As Smart As We Are, arrived, and I heard them sing the lines I had brought back from a dream, and I wondered just what I had meant by fragile things. It seemed like a fine title for a book of short stories. There are so many fragile things, after all. People break so easily. And so do dreams and hearts. A Study in Emerald. This was written for the anthology my friend Michael Reeves edited with John Peelan, Shadows Over Baker Street. The brief from Michael was, "I want a story in which Sherlock Holmes meets the world of H.P. Lovecraft." I agreed to write a story, but suspected there was something deeply unpromising about the setup. The world of Sherlock Holmes is so utterly rational, after all, celebrating solutions, while Lovecraft's fictional creations were deeply, utterly irrational, and mysteries were vital to keep humanity sane. If I was going to tell a story that combined both elements, there had to be an interesting way to do it that played fair with both Lovecraft and with the creations of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. As a boy, I had loved Philip Jose Farmer's Wald Newton stories, in which dozens of characters from fiction were incorporated into one coherent world, and I greatly enjoyed watching my friends Kim Newman and Alan Moore build their own Wald Newton-descended worlds in the Anno Dracula sequence and the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, respectively. It looked like fun. I wondered if I could try something like that. The ingredients of the story I had in the back of my head combined in ways that were better than I had hoped when I began. Writing's a lot like cooking. Sometimes the cake won't rise, no matter what you do, and every now and again the cake tastes better than you ever could have dreamed it would. A Study in Emerald won the Hugo Award in August 2004 as Best Short Story, something that still makes me intensely proud. It also played its part in my finding myself, the following year, mysteriously inducted into the Baker Street Irregulars. The Fairy Reel. Not much of a poem, really, but enormous fun to read aloud. October in the Chair. Written for Peter Straub, for the remarkable volume of conjunctions that he guest-edited. It began some years earlier, at a convention in Madison, Wisconsin, at which Harlan Ellison had asked me to collaborate with him on a short story. We were placed inside a rope barrier, Harlan at his typewriter, me at my laptop. But before we could start the short story, Harlan had an introduction to finish, so while he finished his introduction, I started this story and showed it to him. "Nope, it reads like a Neil Gaiman story," he said. So I put it aside and started another story, which Harlan and I have now been collaborating on ever since. Bizarrely, whenever we get together and work on it, it gets shorter. So I had part of a story sitting on my hard drive. Peter invited me into conjunctions a couple of years later. I wanted to write a story about a dead boy and a living one as a sort of dry run for a book for children I had decided to write. It's called The Graveyard Book, and I'm writing it right now. It took me a little while to figure out how the story worked, and when it was done, I dedicated it to Ray Bradbury, who would have written it much better than I did. It won the 2003 Locus Award for Best Short Story.